Hey, and welcome back to Let's Be Real, Not Right. In a world full of chaos, we're ditching the drama, trauma, and serving up real conversations mixed with a few laughs, inspiration, and motivation. In this episode, we have a real treat for you. You'll meet our very first guest, two men spilling the male perspective on life, love, and nuggets for your soul. One guest, it's the OG, Jen the Godmother's Dad. Nothing but gems dropping, okay? We are your co-hosts, Jen the Godmother, Ray Cerie, Courtney J, and Fashionably She. And we're so glad you're here. Welcome home. Let's get into it. Welcome back to Let's Be Real, Not Right. I am your girl, Jen the Godmother.
Kyla, Fashionably She.
It's me, Courtney J.
And it's me, Ray Cerie.
And today we have a special guest, my dad. Dad, introduce yourself.
Jeff Phillips. Thanks for being here. Thank y'all for having me.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming, Dad. So this is our last episode, and we wanted to end it with the man behind the camera. But we're going to take you from the very beginning and talk about how we got started. So without knowing, my dad named Let's Be Real, Not Right. Dad, I want you to talk about the semi that you use as the metaphor when you used to tell me about when, because I used to say when I was mad at my mom or we were going back and forth about something, I used to say, but she's not right. It's not right. And my dad would say, what would you say about the semi truck, Dad?
I would say thank you for having me, first of all. I really appreciate it. I remember when you first came to me and you wanted to know, you had a good ideal about being right or being real. And I was explaining to you, you can be right, but you can be dead right. I say, if you, the light is green, and if you're in your car and you pulling up to an intersection, even though you got the light, if you see a 18-wheeler coming at you, 80 miles an hour, you can pull out in front of it because you got the light. You're right. But you'll be dead right. So, and I'm saying, okay, now being real is something a little bit different. And so we talked about that and came up with the title that y'all got. And I think it's beautiful. I think it fits the occasion with four professional ladies that know which way they're going in life. Yeah. And because being right is a choice. Being real is just that. It's tangible. It's something that exists. Being right is just a choice. But but if you make the right choice, it's good. But you can make a choice and you can make the wrong choice. Okay. Remember the Constitution, they had right in there for slavery. Don't get me started. You know, we're not going to.
Well, now y'all going to see a little bit more of me because my daddy's here. So, Dad, so when I started this podcast, you didn't know, but you were the first investor. Yeah. And so my dad has always been my first cheerleader, my best cheerleader. Aww. So we all want to say thank you for believing in us before we even got started.
You're more than welcome. And I'm so proud of y'all because you're very attractive, but you're more professional and you're intelligent. And I just love how y'all don't step on each other. Y'all don't, you know, go walk over each other. Mm-hmm. You listen to each other. Y'all have got your own opinion. And that's what's good. And that's what's going to make it successful. And I'm blessed to be here with you guys because y'all really are something special.
Thank you.
And that's real talk. That's just not just hyperbole. That's just real talk. You know.
So if you had to give us three pieces of advice in order to be successful, not just in the not just with the podcast, but in life in general, for us to be successful, what would those three pieces be?
Well, first of all, I would say, be confident in yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, always do your research. Mm-hmm. Don't be persuaded by other things. You know, don't get it twisted. Be grounded in some religion. A higher power.
Amen.
That'll keep you calm through everything. Mm-hmm. And lean on other people. Trust your friends. Trust your, you know, trust in what you put into life.
Yeah.
You know, and show love and kindness.
Absolutely.
And keep the negative on the down.
Right.
Just no, for real. For real.
Keep it on the down.
Just keep that negative stuff from really negative as possible. They're going to experience it because it's easy to be negative.
Yeah.
That's low-hanging fruit, to disagree and to not listen to the other person's point of view. Mm-hmm. But take the other person's point of view and take it, understand it,
that's good.
Be sure of yourself. Be confident in what you bring it to the table.
Yeah.
That's good.
Know where you're going, knowing what you expect out of life, not what somebody else has got to expect it for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Sometimes people, I never smoked cigarettes because they said, oh, that looks cool. Well, I didn't like it, so I didn't do it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No, you know what you want.
That's right.
Don't let nobody else choose your road for you.
So you are a great dad, but the older that I get, I also realize you played a few mind games with me growing up. And I want to talk about this one mind game, but it worked. And so that's why I believe in let's be real and not right. When I was growing up, my mom had a problem with me wearing makeup really early. So versus my dad saying, no, don't wear that makeup. He said, well, if you wear makeup every day, when you dress up, nobody will know. Mm. So now y'all know why I don't wear makeup.
Okay.
Because he put in my head that when I did decide to dress up, nobody would know it because I'm always dressed up in the face. I just want you to know that I realized that in my older age.
Hey, kid. And sometimes her name is Jennifer, but I call her kid sometimes. So I slip out once in a while. But in reality, this is real talk. You were your own person. You could grow and you knew what you'd like. You know, I couldn't steer you in what kind of your fashion, what you wanted to wear. But I trusted your judgment. Of course, I'm not going to let you go out there, hoochie mama. But it was a blessing to watch you grow into the lady that you became, the young woman that you became, you know.
That's so sweet.
And it really surprised me as much as you listen. I realized that in your work. It really did. And I was and that's what makes me even more prouder. Because sometimes life will straighten you out.
Yeah,
you can't listen to the people that's been down that alley, then that's a good story for me to tell. One of my brothers told me, Jeff, don't go down that alley. It's a dog. I didn't go. Some of my friends said, come on, Jeff, let's go. I said, no, I'm not going down there. My brother told me, Billy told me, nope, don't go down there. He said, it's a loose dog down there. They go down there next to my seam. Their pants is all tore up. they're trying to get rabies shots. But I'm not exaggerating.
I know.
People from the lake could tell you.
Right.
It was a dog down there called Dynamite.
Doberman pitcher? A Doberman?
No, he was like a mutt. He was like a wolfhound or something.
No, dogs you don't play with.
But you know that because, you know, first of all, because he's been down that road.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
And if sometimes you don't have to make hard mistakes if you listen to the people that's been down there.
Yeah.
And that's so important.
It is.
Because I would never tell you something that's going to hurt you. And that's the same with all the young ladies. If you listen to the people that love you and respect you, if you just follow their lead, they're not going to tell you something to go out there and do something stupid. Somebody tell you to do something that you don't feel comfortable doing it. And this is, they got like a saying back in the older days, everything you know you learned in kindergarten, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you learn to say please and thank you, and you recognize things.
Yes.
But, you know, this podcast y'all got going on is so positive. It's got so much energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, I'm just proud to be here with you guys because I think y'all got a lot to say and a lot to do.
Yeah, we do.
World.
We do.
God,
thank you.
You guys. Y'all, he got something.
Don't be.
I know.
Work through me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, also, I have another question. Then I'm also going to open it up for my girls too. But so we just celebrated Father's Day. And in the past few recent years, I've opened it up to my friends who've lost their dad or who didn't have a dad in their life. So I'm sure we have a lot of ladies watching that didn't experience the childhood that I did because I had you. So what would you say to women that are now women
but are struggling or feeling like they miss something by not having a dad, what advice would you give them to push forward in life without having the things that you put into me?
Well, the most important thing to know is be a blessing to someone else. If you don't have that person in your life, be that person to someone else.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, take your knowledge and your strength and project it to other people, project it to the younger ones coming up. Being a mentor, volunteer, take time out to listen to the young ones, to listen to them and show them a better way, you know, and help them. Because it's not easy just growing up with no guidance, with no, we just like we said earlier, without letting somebody know, don't go down that road.
Right.
You know, and the ones that don't really listen, you might have to work a little harder. You have to try to believe in them like people believed in. None of us, we all standing on the shoulders of the people that came before us. So, always know that. That's the foundation of how you rise up.
Okay. Good.
And, you know, and can't hold on to with shoulda, coulda, woulda. But that don't stop you from being to move forward. If you're a parent went around, because some people are born, you know, people are born into this world and some orphans.
Yeah.
And there are people who, you know, get adopted and there's a lot of things. Okay. But don't let that be a deterrent on what God got planned for you.
That's right.
There.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just keep pushing forward.
Okay.
That's good.
And my part B of that question is, what about the woman that's choosing a man, but she didn't have a model to choose a man from? Because for me, I have a model. So I know what a good man looks like. I know what a lousy man looks like. So for a woman that doesn't have a model to choose or to think about when she's choosing, what would you say to her?
I would say you have to know when you're uncomfortable. If you're in a relationship that's uncomfortable and it's unkind to you and it's more hurting than loving. If it's more unforgiving than being forgave, you know, to forgive. All of these things are red flags. It's you have to know your own red flags. You know, just everybody don't like ice cream. You know, some people don't like mashed potatoes. You know, some people don't like chicken. You have to find what your own flavor is on what it takes for you to be happy. I mean, one day you told me, kids, you said that I'm unhappy. You know, that's important.
Yeah,
you don't need someone else to tell you that you're unhappy or this is uncomfortable. Or, this is not what how I want to be. Right. This is not work. This is not the place I want to be. This is not the environment that I want to find myself in. But they have to be strong enough to get out of it. And then plus you got to maybe turn this to someone you can trust.
Yeah.
Minister, older member, family, cousins, aunts, uncles.
Okay.
And that's something that's not, it's not inherently understood, but with the knowledge that we said earlier about helping someone who's don't know that way, who's not experiencing it. Because it's reality.
Yeah.
If you grow up dysfunctional, that's all you know.
That's right.
If you're in the middle of the forest, you can't see nothing else but the trees. If you eat pork and beans every day, and then somebody gives you some chili, you're going to think, wow, what is this?
Yeah, for real.
You know? So you have to experience different things in life to be able to appreciate where you're at.
So good.
And if you're in a dysfunctional thing, and that's all you know, you won't realize it until maybe someone you can trust or somebody else can see it.
Right.
I'm going to help her out. I'm going to talk to her or him. I'm going to, you know, intervene, you know. But it's a special way to do that. You can't just come in and say, oh, you're wrong. Don't do that. Leave him or leave her. No. It just shows somebody a different way.
Right.
This is what love feels like. This is what respect is.
That's right.
Oh, that's good.
Well, Ray, you vibe well with my dad, Ray. Open it up to you if you want to give my dad some questions.
Yes, indeed, yeah. I do. Because I am a woman that was raised without her father. Okay, so. And I told you this earlier, I love the relationship that you and Jen have. It is amazing. And it only gives me insight on what that would have looked like, you know, had my dad been present in my life growing up. And so, yeah, I do. I just have a question. How important, because, yeah, I didn't have that dad. So I want to know, how important was it for you to be in your daughter's life?
Oh, that's astronomical, yeah. Because she kept me grounded. She kept me,
yeah,
made me who I was, mm-hmm, because I knew I had to survive for her sake, to help her, to make sure she was going to be okay. You turn out to be such a great individual lady. So therefore, a dad don't make or break you.
Mm-hmm.
But to have one there, I had to straighten up. You know, there's too many people that'll say sometimes it. Mm-hmm. That's why you see so many strong black, you know, ladies of color who make it without a man, because they get strong enough for their kids' sake.
Mm-hmm.
See, the kids will make you stronger because now you got somebody other than yourself to be concerned with.
Yeah.
And that love is right there, and it'll just keep pushing you forward. No. And that's what it was with the kids. When, you know, I come home from Bendix and, you know, I see her play with it before she did, when she wake up in her crib in the morning, I'm there, play with her all the way till I get ready to go to work. And that was the bond. It can't be broken.
That's amazing. And I'm glad you said that. And I said I wasn't going to cry. I thought I was over this part, but clearly I'm not. So it just lets me know, even as an adult, okay, even as an adult, you still have those wounds. You know, you still have those wounds from an absent father. And I see this also with my daughter and her dad. And that was really one of the main reasons why I felt like I had to stick it out. Even though when we had some rough patches, and I know that every relationship has their rough patches, but I was looking to more of just me. I was looking at my daughter. Yep. And what that would look like for her. Yeah, I could have did something different. I could have walked away from that relationship. I really could have. But then what would it have looked like for my daughter? Yeah, we could have raised her in two separate homes. But if we really didn't have to do that, you know, why would I uproot that? Why not give that a lasting chance? You know, why not do the work, even if it's going to be hard work, for the sake of my daughter, especially for a man that was willing to stick it out, that was willing to be a part of his daughter's life, you know? And so I just take my hats off to the men. I take my hats off to you, to the father.
Thank you.
That decided, listen, nobody had to make you stay. Nobody had to make you be a father. Nobody had to pump and pry you to make you understand how important it was to be a part of your daughter's life and to watch her grow up. Nobody had to do that, make you do that. You decided, you made the choice.
Thank you.
And I take my hat off to you. I am so, yes, these type of topics, they pull on my heart in a major way, because it's not a lot of black men that do it. It's not a lot. And to all the black men that are doing it, thank you. Okay. Out there, whoever is doing this and has stepped up to the plate without having to be forced to, without having to be talked, talk crazy to in order to do this, but actually decided, this is what I want to do. And so, I thank you for that. I thank you. I really do. And that, like I said, going back to that relationship with my daughter and her and my husband now, yes, I'm so glad that I gave that the chance that it deserved, and not just looked at me as far as what Rachel wanted and what was good for Rachel, but looking at the whole thing around the table, what was best for my family and for my child, and not just for her, but also so for my son, that he has a bonus father, that he has even stepped up to that without even having to ask.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's what real fathers do.
Yeah.
That's what real men do. And I thank you so much. And I thank you, husband, for doing that.
Thank you, Chris.
But I'd like to interject. You said, Richard, you said so many beautiful things. That the number one thing I think of a parent is to keep their child safe.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love I love that.
That's paramount in any relationship or anything. To keep you, if it means you leave or if you have to get out of it, as long as that child is safe. Mm-hmm. That's your force. You know, we're not just talking like, maybe if they're going to grow to be how important they're going to be or financially stable or successful, that'll come later through different development. Mm-hmm. But the job of the parent is to get that child to that position where they can be self-sufficient, mm-hmm. where they have learned enough, where you have taught them enough, where they can grow and stand on their own feet.
Yes.
I thought Jennifer, when she didn't remember, she was little. She was barely walking. Took her out the stroller, the little walker, and she was able to walk, and she didn't have no shoes on. Let her walk in the dirt. And I said, Dad,
I said,
you got to walk on your own feet now. Yeah. You know, it was just symbolic.
Absolutely.
You know, let her know. Now you got to stand on your own feet. I got your back. Mm. Don't worry about this move. Now it's up to you to start walking. Because I can't walk for you.
Yes.
I couldn't take her shots for you, her immunization shots. It was up to me to keep her safe.
Yes.
And make sure she had these things.
Yes.
Yeah. And it helped me grow. Like I said, it kept me focused. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think some of the dads that missed out on it, of course, when they get to it, they hurt too. Mm-hmm. Once they realize when they shorties grow up and they don't have that cool relationship, believe me, it hurts. Because everybody wants to be loved, everybody wants to be needed and respected. And when they didn't give it, like I said, it used to be a little thing called the little hen. Wanted somebody to help them plant the corn and do the work and do that.
Then they all wanted
to
eat.
Yeah, you feel me?
And the hen said no.
Yeah, so you didn't help me. You didn't help me do this. You didn't help me do that. You didn't help me do this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The ant and the grasshopper. These are the things I said about kindergarten, you know. You got to start preparing your shorties, and that's what the father does. You know, the mom does it better, you know. Like we're not going to even get on the back page because they're the strength and the foundations. Yeah. But the dad, and I respect how you ladies, the accolades y'all give the fathers.
And absolutely.
And that's what I think it'll help a lot of fathers to be more present.
Yeah, because we need our dads. We do, and I don't know if that's being said enough, but our children need you. We need our fathers. A lot of the trauma that a lot of us women have gone through has a lot to do with the father not being present. Mm-hmm. I feel if my father was present, I wouldn't have made a lot of the decisions that I made throughout life. I wouldn't have chosen the type of relationships that I had chosen had my dad been present in my life, which lets me know my daughter will shy away from certain relationships because her dad is very, very present in her life. And he's showing her what a good man looks like. Does he make mistakes? We all do. But for the most part, he's setting the groundwork for her to know this is what you look for in a man. Okay. When you do come of age, but so we need something to model after. We don't have that. Then we're just out here and we're just picking because we have that void there. So we're just picking what comes. Okay. Well, that person, he'll do. At least he'll fill that void. No. And so I congratulate all the men that have done exactly what they are supposed to be doing. All the fathers. Give a round of applause to
you. Ray, thank you. But I also want to tell you, though, because I try not to ever present our situation like it was perfect, because my dad wasn't in the house the whole time. Yeah, when I was born with my dad in the house. But then my mom and my dad went their separate ways, and I lived primarily with my mom for a while. But I think that what makes my dad a perfect dad for me was because even in the flawed or irregular or not normal times, he still made a way. He still made a way to be impactful. Yes. So it's not like we had a picture perfect situation, because we didn't, but we always made the best of it.
And that's what matters. Mm-hmm. He gave mm-hmm. the effort. Yeah. You know, and, it's, I'm sorry.
No, but it's hard to come back on that right there, because then it's like I'm patting myself on the back. Because I remember when, you know, from preschool all the way through, they thought I was a teacher. Because mm-hmm. all the way we went to Clay and Darton and all them schools, mm-hmm. because it was there for recess and, you know, signed up for parent, you know, the stuff that mm-hmm. normally a black lady would do, the black mother would do, mm-hmm. to be there present for their child, you mm-hmm. know. Because mm-hmm. I was afforded the opportunity to be off work while you was in school. Mm-hmm. So if they needed me, I could be up there until yeah. I had to go to work at 3:30 in the evening. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was available from, you know, if they need me at school, I'm there.
Yeah.
And all the shorties thought, that was all the way up to you guys in high school.
Yeah. So when I was in high school, y'all, my dad worked third shift, so he could, he could be. But the last thing that I want to thank you for, and I don't know if you know that I remember this, because when I was in the first grade, I had a gym teacher that was a man. I won't say his name. But it was known in our small town that he might be somewhat of a pedophile. So he was a gym teacher. And in that time, we went to the gym to have gym class. So I'm sure my dad got whiff of it from his friends on the lake. And they probably told him, hey, so-and-so is teaching gym at your daughter's school. So my dad showed up for gym class. Okay. So, you know, when you walking on the beam and you got to hold your hands out, my dad was at the other end of the beam. So I thank you, Dad, because I always remembered that some people won't touch you because they know won't touch me because they know I got you.
Oh, there ain't no doubt. Absolutely. I don't know who you talking about. You know? Like you're saying, but you know, but I don't want to just heap these praises, because it takes a lot of effort and work on everybody's part.
Yeah.
And I've always told you how proud I am of you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the good thing about you, you're intelligent, mm-hmm. but at least you're not too smart for your own good. But sometimes when people are intelligent and they can see things, they can recognize things, they're analytical, mm-hmm. then it's hard mm-hmm. to get through to them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, they know everything until they don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's one thing that I've always admired about you. If me and you talk, we can chop it up. You got A pluses when I help you with different projects. Mm-hmm. No problem.
Yeah.
Because I'm not, like I said, I'm very not perfect. Nowhere near. I can't walk on water. You know, get it twisted.
Yeah, no. I got a question.
Yes, yeah, I was just about to say.
You I got a question. Because, yeah, Dad, when you walk through, the first thing I notice is your style. Undeniable. Yeah, okay. So I want to know, the style has like a deeper meaning for you?
Because
it's like your swag is just.
It's
on point.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Like, I think as you get. Yeah, to make a long story short, I think it does. You know, you dress accordingly.
Yeah.
You know, everything. When we was growing up, we didn't know we have church clothes, mm-hmm. school clothes. And then when someone came from school, we had to change, you know.
Yeah.
Put on some shoes. We have to stick newspaper in the bottom of our shoes. Mm-hmm. And thank you. Well, thank you for the comment. It's beautiful, because all of y'all is fly too. Don't get it twisted. You know,
yeah, but he's kind of downplaying this a little bit. So I'm about to bust my little back.
Okay.
Dad, how many closets do you take up in your house?
About three.
What? Sound like you.
But then I gain weight and lose weight.
And don't you got some clothes over here too?
I don't know if I do still. But I really appreciate it. But it's important to, because people will judge you. Not that it makes a difference. Mm-hmm. Don't get, you know, if you go into a store, I done seen it happen. Mm-hmm. You know, I know some people back in Indiana, very well off. They would wear coveralls. Mm-hmm. And they got treated like they was wearing coveralls.
Yeah.
You know? Now I'm not trying to see you dress for someone else.
Right. Right.
Don't get it, you know. But you can feel... And it's inherited on us. It's inherited when you go somewhere to be able, you know, you can go somewhere and say, oh, wow, I'm overdressed.
Yep.
Or, hey, God, which I'm, you know. And that's not, you can't be judged by that. But I'm old. So over a time, period of time, it took me to get to this to the flavor where would you comment on
your mother? Yeah, no, it looked like it's like an innate thing. Like you were born with this. You don't get
right. My dad has always dressed like this, and he's always taken the longest to get dressed. Okay. It was time to go. Let us be clear. He brought 3 shirts for this taping. Everyone, yeah, let us be clear.
I saw them.
I was in the Navy. Yeah, I was in the Navy. You know, and believe it or not, I was a Cub Scout and a Boy Scout. You know, that was being very prepared. You know?
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Chicago Street.
Okay.
Miss Eccles, she was our den mother.
Okay.
I love it.
Yeah. Coco, Miss Therapist, do you have any questions for my dad?
Of course. I just have one question. What is the best advice that you've received, that you've carried with you and tried to impart into others, and that you can leave with us and also our viewers?
Good advice. my hair is hard, and I told you about my 3 the mantras that I live by.
Okay.
Be good to yourself. Always, be good, be kind, and stay away from negative. And each one of those I can go into detail.
Please.
But first of all, to be good to yourself, it says a lot. It don't mean that, it doesn't mean when you want to be good to yourself, it don't mean that you don't do this or you don't do that. Mm-hmm. Don't eat red meat. Don't, drink too many sodas. Not that. Treat yourself good. Mm-hmm. Understand your body. Understand your mind. You know, look for the spiritual wealth awakening. Yeah. All of these things of being, you'll know when you don't want to misabuse your body.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to say you get up every day and don't do it, because sometimes you do. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes we overeat. Sometimes we might drink a little bit too much. You know, mm-hmm. All of these things. But be aware of it.
Right.
You know, just don't go through with blinders on. And then I say, just being kind.
Yeah.
Being kind takes a lot of stress off of you.
Yes, it does.
I'm not trying to, you can be
it again.
Yeah, you can be angry. You can get upset. You can be PO.
Yeah.
You can be, these things. But you don't have to kick a dog when he's down.
Exactly. Yes. Thank you for saying that.
That's good.
And then just the negative, it speaks for itself. 100%. That negative is the worst thing of all.
Anyway.
Being able to recognize it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because some people, that's the only way they know how to fight or exist.
Yep.
You know, that's the easiest thing. If you say, that's good. No, it was bad, No, but if it is, let's talk about it. Let's see if it's really a negative thing or if it's really an idea or a platitude of some sort where we can get to a certain point. Mm-hmm. But, it's a... I appreciate that. That was a heck of a question.
I love your response, though, right. Because it aligns with so many things that I say to myself, my clients, my family. And that staying away from negative, that's like my number one, because I'm the positive girly.
Yep. She is.
And I love to find the silver lining. So being focused on the positive, I love to tell people, it doesn't negate the fact that bad things happen or are happening.
Right.
You're just focused on the positive so that you can move forward in a better manner, so you can be kind and you can continue to be good to yourself. So I love that.
That's great. I was in the Navy, so I guess some of the stuff I learned.
I was Air Force. So.
Okay, congratulations. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service.
Well, Dad, we want to thank you so much for joining us. You always come through for me in a crunch. Thank you for birthing me. Well, not birthing me.
helping me create you.
But thank you for having me. Thank you all y'all for having me. And I'm so proud of you guys, and congratulations, and keep moving forward. And and with this and the attitude and the guys y'all who y'all are, good things is in y'all's future, no doubt.
Okay. Absolutely.
Thank you, Dad. Thank you so much. All right.
Much love and much respect to all you guys.
Thank you, Dad. Yeah. And thank you so much. Now we have another guest, which is the man behind the camera. I want to introduce you all to Ceno Max, is what he is known as on all social media platforms. Ceno, would you care to join us?
You have to insert praise.
Yes.
Got my drink in my face.
Well, first of all, we all would like to just commend you for being so much more than just our producer. We know that it's not easy dealing with four different women. and you do it with so much grace. So we definitely want to acknowledge that we know that you do go above and beyond what you are called to do. And we really do appreciate you.
Anytime, anytime. this was a little, how can I say it? I was a little nervous coming on here because I'm usually not in front of the camera like that. Sometimes I am, but it's my first like podcast being a part of. So a little nervous, but
you got this.
You know, I'm here.
Yeah, so I absolutely did force him to do this, but it's because you have been listening to four women the whole season, and I think it's only right that you hear from a man, and especially the man that has been with us from the beginning, even pre-beginning. So I'm going to dig into that a little bit. So originally, we only hired Sino to do our intro video, right?
Right.
But he did so much more than that intro video. When we got on the set, we realized we were doing a video. We were taking pictures. And those pictures came back stellar.
Yes.
Stellar. Stellar.
Absolutely.
For the video. Like, it actually, Sino, made me nervous once I saw how good the video was. Because I knew the podcast was going to have to be good. Mm-hmm. Because we can't come out with a fire intro video. And we are not talking about anything, right? Right. So your work actually made me really tap into my creative juices so that I could be on top of my game. So, mm-hmm. again, thank you. And then beyond that, so Sino was our photographer and our videographer for the intro. And we didn't know he was going to be our producer. But I found out on set, Sino said, hey, so are you good with your recording? Because I was talking about the equipment and I was telling him when we were going to be recording. And I was like, you know, I'm getting a little nervous because I'm still having to buy equipment. I'm not too certain. And so he was like, hey, I record for someone, and it's a gentleman that I know too, and I know that his podcast is top notch. And I was like, oh, you record for Latarius? And he was like, yeah. And so he was like, well,
sometimes.
And so he was like, no, Jen, you're going to be okay. And I could stop by to take a look at your equipment just to make sure that you're going to be okay, because it's really not that hard. So I immediately felt relieved because I was nervous because we were getting close time to recording, and I knew I was still having to keep buying a whole lot of stuff, and my soul was not at rest. So I met Sino through my neighbor and my friend, and so they came by. Sino took a look at the equipment, and he said, okay, well, all you need to do is A, B, C, D, and E, and he made it very simple. So I was like, who, thank you? Just be on standby just in case my producer needs you. And he was like, hey, no problem. And might I add you, this was of no charge. He did not charge me. So I want to go back to you and say, because I know you were raised in the church, because I had a chance to meet your mom. What in you, being an entrepreneur with a family, what led you to, because y'all know we don't get that a lot, and everybody wants something for something. Mm-hmm. So what led you to extend yourself to make sure that we were okay and without charge or without you receiving anything back?
I think it was just the way I grew up. Just, I think if you look at the previous podcast, her dad was talking about like being kind, and it was just being kind, and, just the way I was raised, and just trying to help, mm-hmm. you know, when I seen somebody that needed help, and, not trying to be a gatekeeper or trying to charge for information that I know, because it's all free game. And, so I just seen the opportunity to be able to help and, to make sure that y'all podcast was running as smoothly as it could be, versus having to, you know, getting frustrated with it or struggling with it, when it could just be a smooth process and just helping out pretty much. Yeah, that's
good. Listen, and mm-hmm. we are extremely grateful, and I want to encourage anybody that's out there considering a podcast, do know that it's not something you can jump into. You have to plan. You have to know what you're talking about. You have to make, I'm not saying you have to get the most expensive equipment, but you need the right equipment.
Right.
So, Cino, you know that we went through the wrong equipment, missing equipment, bad equipment.
Plugged up wrong,
right? So eventually I had to call you in and say, hey, I'm in a situation. And now I need a producer. Yeah. So when I called you and you knew that we were in a tight spot, and I promise you, I'm not going to get emotional. But you, without question, you came through for us, and we didn't miss a beat. Like what should have been a missed few beats.
Right.
Y'all don't
elevate it.
Yeah.
Y'all don't know this, but we went through a transition where we had to switch everything, equipment, producer. We had to switch up a whole lot, and y'all didn't feel that because of this man right here. Yeah. So when I called you up and I was like, I have a bad situation. We need to start from scratch. What were your thoughts?
First I was just like, send me the footage. Let me see what it looked like. You know, it's probably not that bad. You know, and I looked at it and I was just like, you know, it could, based off the podcast I've done in the past, it was just a little bit too much going on, especially for just four hosts. And I didn't think nothing of it. I was just like, you know, I'm just going to go in there and just do what I normally do. The setup that my go-to setup, which I'll let y'all know, Rodecaster, Black Magic Mini, 3 cameras and a monitor. That's all you really need, some mics. And it was super easy. The ladies on this podcast, you know, they're amazing. They all got their own story, all different personalities. So it was smooth. You know, always had food when we pulled up. So I couldn't ask for nothing better. It was
your
easy.
Drink.
Sure, we had, yes we do.
it was easy. It was easy. And like I said, everything just came together like it was supposed to at the end of the day. No matter what had happened in the beginning, everything turned out how it was supposed to turn out.
Yeah.
Lovely.
And your character speaks volumes. Because even in the transition, when you came in and you started over, you came in on the episode where Ray released to the world her story. And then for some reason you trusted us, like we bonded that right. specific day. Like yeah. what part of Ray's story or part of that day like made you comfortable? Because now I call him my BIC, which is brother in Christ. So what now I can tell you like what made me comfortable, but you immediately became family to us on that first recording. So what about us, or what can you share with people that is important to be or to do to welcome people and to make them comfortable with the people that they're around or that they work with or family or friends?
I think that day it was just, I think it was just the women being vulnerable that day and just explaining to the world what was going on in their life, even though what they look like now doesn't have anything to do with like what they've been through. I think I said that wrong, but they was telling their stories and just like how, you know, how they passed was, you know, it was just a little troublesome, or it was a path that they had went down that, you know, wasn't the path that they were supposed to go through. And just listening to like their stories and just seeing where they came from just had me thinking like, okay, so, you know, like everybody go through stuff. Everybody, you know, may do something that they're not supposed to do, or just pretty much anything, just anything that's going on in somebody's life, you have no idea. Just listening to them, I just thought to myself, like, okay, I got this stuff going on in my life as well that's relatable to the stuff that's going on in some of their lives, and yet they still persevered. They still became, you know, a boss. They still became a influencer. And you can't tell. I think that day, just from listening to it, I was just like, you know, it made it comfortable for me to explain what was going on in my life. And like I said, to anybody that's out there, like I said, everybody got a lot of stuff going on that you may not know about. And it's okay to open up sometimes, to let people know what's going on in your life, because, you know, they're not going to know. So you're around mad or upset and this, that, and the third, and nobody knows why. It's okay to open up. It's okay to, you know, let your guard down sometime and just express how you feel. So that way people can understand where you're coming from or what may trigger you or just things of that nature. So it was a day of vulnerability, and I opened up, and it was a bonding moment. So it was pretty cool.
That actual day actually confirmed for me that I was doing the right thing with the right people. Because when someone trusts you, and I hate that I didn't talk about this with my dad, but a lot of men especially, trust is love.
Yeah.
If a man trusts you, that means that he loves you, right? Mm-hmm. And so I knew that we were good people, like from our soul, for him to trust us with what he was going through. So that told me that we were the perfect four to do exactly what we said we were going to do.
Yeah.
And that was to be real. And that was to bring joy. That was to build a community. And so on that day, you helped me to know that the person that I think I am, that I'm not saying that I'm perfect, but I'm on the path to where I want to go. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for being vulnerable to us. And before I get emotional, I'll let y'all ask some questions.
I'll say this. What you just said really, it really confirmed that sharing your testimony is necessary.
Yeah.
Okay. It is necessary. I think a lot of times we just don't realize how important it is to share what we have gone through. I know a lot of times people are like, well, I don't want people in my business. That's private. Yeah. Again, if the Lord has brought you through some things and you definitely don't look like what he has brought you through, that is an opportunity. Yeah. That is definitely an opportunity to share with somebody else what he has done for you.
Yeah.
So that the next person can know, just like you said, Sino, like just being relatable, like, okay, yeah, I'm going through some things myself, and just hear this and to know that these ladies have gone through things and are still getting through it in a way to where no one would know, you know, unless you share that testimony. It gives you an idea of, yes, although I can go through all of this, I can still come out on top.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And that was something that I didn't think could ever happen with myself. You know, I didn't think that after what I went through, going to prison, being drugged, fulfilled, and being talked about, humiliated all over the news and everything else and people's homes. It didn't even have to be over the news and people's homes and social media and whatever. I didn't think that I could come back the way that the Lord has allowed me to come back. Mm-hmm. And so that needs to be told. Yeah. We are to tell our testimonies. Mm-hmm. We are overcome by the word of the Lord, the blood of the Lamb, and the word of our testimony. Yeah. That is how we overcome, you know? So we have to share that. And so I'm so glad that I've been able to not just share with you ladies, with you, Sino, but the world.
Yeah.
The world that, guess what? I've been through it. I'd have been through the stuff that I couldn't even imagine that I would have to go through, but yet I can still live to tell the testimony and live it in such a way that I don't have to be feeling guilty. Yeah. I don't have to walk in shame. Because there was a time where I was shameful. There was a time where I felt guilt. There was this time that I felt like, oh, I didn't have a place to belong. But I don't feel that anymore. I don't feel that anymore. And that is to be told to somebody else, because I encourage someone else, don't allow anyone or even yourself to put you in a situation to where you have to feel ashamed of what it is that you have done. Yeah. Listen, you have overcome. That is the past. Okay. Yeah. And that does not determine how you propel forward for your future.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, yeah, you just have to have that made up mind and be willing to share that with somebody. And that is what I'm here for. I'm here to share that.
with the world.
Yeah, and like I always tell you, Ray, and you, Sino, we all are guilty of something.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just some of us didn't get caught. That's all. That's all. The only difference between somebody that's judging and somebody that's being judged is the one that's judging has not been caught. That's it. You may not have the same offense, but you have gotten away with something that you shouldn't have.
Absolutely.
So I just want all of us to understand that.
Absolutely.
That nobody sits any higher than any of us here. So again, thank you. And thank you, Ray, for creating a space and trusting us too. But you actually opened the chair for Sino to be vulnerable to us. So,
and it was nothing. It was just as simple as sharing my story. You know, that's all it was, just sharing my story. I didn't know where that was going to go. And that's the thing. You never know where it's going to go.
You never know.
And whose life is going to affect and impact. And I said, I've always said that if you're not being effective, then what are you doing? Right. And if you're not standing in your truth, then what are you doing?
That's right.
And people can identify when you're being truthful or not.
That's true.
Being genuine or not.
Yep.
It's something in you that it does something on the inside.
That's true.
Yeah. You know, it raises something up on the inside of a person when they know, okay, hold up. Yeah, that just sparks something.
That's,
you know,
right.
That just sparks. And it oftentimes sparks it in myself, which is crazy in a way, because I'm like, okay, I'm putting it out. Why am I being sparked? Because it's something about truth and genuineness and the real rawness of it.
That's true. That is true.
Yes. Well, this is what I want to say about Sino. Because, you know, you are like the exterior hardcore swag.
Chi-town. That's our Midwest.
Yeah. But you are such a, and I don't even want to, I think humble is overused. I don't have the right word right now, but I'm just, for lack of a better word, so humble, so relatable, so approachable. Like there's a softness in you, but you don't get it until you actually like in front of you. And so that for a man, like a real, like, to look, then I say, man, I feel like you're a strong black man.
Yeah.
But that softness and that relatability and that openness and just genuine to do something for nothing, for no money, for no expectations. Mm-hmm. And we know, like, the way the world works, it always come back. Mm-hmm. It came back to where you were actually hired to do the podcast. But the way you did it, it was no intent and just the kindness of your heart. Yeah, so I just want to commend you as a man, a black strong man, and just being as gentle and kind as you are. It really, like, I have two sons, and I just hope and pray that they can just be kind to people, be genuine, and know that it always will come back and return tenfold.
And most importantly, he's Christian. So
absolutely. It's always a plus.
That's like, that's the basis. Miss Courtney J.
Hey, Sino. So as you know, and some of y'all may not know, I used to model in the past. So this podcast, this is my very first photo shoot since having both my little kids. So I was very out of place. Like, where the studio used to be my home, I was so nervous. So, but like Jen said, you just made it so comfortable. And as soon as I got there, I was just right back in. If y'all know Coach Courtney, you already know. I was ready. I was on the scene. I was on the set. I was showing everybody how to pose. You know. And I just thank you for just creating that environment, helping it for me to be comfortable again in front of the camera. Because, you know, I'm still working for a little baby weight on me. But Sino, you've always been, thank you, girl. you always, I know, I'd be messing with you. I'd be like, hey, I need you to snatch this in or edit this up. But he's always, he always makes you feel comfortable in front of the camera. You always make me feel comfortable here with each other. And how you were saying earlier, it made me think of how we have to create environments that are conducive to what it is we want to happen.
That's good.
Jen wanted to make an environment conducive to where community, transparency, realness, no jealousy, no envy, no hate, all that can happen.
Because it's real.
Real. Okay. And I believe and know that you do the same for your clients. And now we are family. You create this environment to where you not all, like Sis Kai Kai was saying, you're just so humble. You're so genuine. And you have a gift at what you're doing. And you continue to, I'd be on your page. I'm like, you better go over there and take the video. You have a gift. And I just thank you for sharing that gift, not just with us, but with everybody else. And like, again, from the model Courtney inside of me, I just thank you even more for bringing that back out of me and helping me to like be confident from the camera again. So,
and one thing I want to say, because I sit back and I listen and I watch, really, I just
sit back and I'm watching. Yeah, that's
one thing. Like, when I think it was our first photo shoot, mm-hmm. and this is where like you don't have this ego thing. Yeah. Our first photo shoot, and being a photographer, I know you are a director, you direct shoots, you know how to position, you know how to do all of that. Court, that's her background as well. Yeah. And I was watching you as like you, Courtney knew what we needed because we right. And so Courtney was doing her thing. Most producers, photographers would have said, hold up, boo, let me do this. I got this. Right. You never
no
did
ego.
That. I kept watching. No I was ego. Waiting and watching. I thought you were going to get upset. You just let it happen. Naturally, you didn't get you didn't get anything. And I knew then. I said, he's different.
Yeah.
I said, he's different. He doesn't have a problem with letting a woman do their thing, a woman lead, even in something where you are the expert, the expertise that you still created room to allow her to do her thing with us. You knew what we all needed to feel comfortable. And from that moment, I was sold on you. I was like,
we were sold. Like, we all talked after the intro was recorded and we all was like, just from the pictures, we all was like, yeah, that's it. Yeah. Like, we good.
Yep.
We can rest.
When you know, you know.
You know, you know. So, Sino, so you had a chance to be with us since December now. So now we 6 months in. So tell us one of your favorite moments of the podcast.
There's so many, right?
There's numerous.
Oh, let me see. One of my favorite moments from the podcast. Mm-hmm. Mm. I wish I had this question before so I could prep myself. Let me see.
On the spot.
I want to say probably, what episode was that? I think it was the episode. I want to say my favorite one was the one where the vulnerability happened.
Okay. The first one. Yeah,
yeah, me too. I say that was the one because that was that day, I think, we just learned a little bit more about each other, and that episode.
Yeah,
that was my moment.
And I think that was a time it took us like what, about an hour or something to set.
Yeah, but it was that behind the scenes too, because it was like after the recording stuff.
Oh, that's right.
We just hung out. We were all just hanging out, sharing stories, and continuing and.
Yeah,
one of my favorites too.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think Ray shocked us all. I know I was.
I was like, "What?" And I was like, "Hey, this is her story to tell it."
Ray was like, "I told y'all at tea," and Kyle was like, "I was not listening."
No,
I thought she said it, but I did. I was like, "Did she say that?" And then I didn't want. Yeah. And so when you said, I was like, "She said that."
Yeah, so Ray's vulnerability like opened some doors for us. So going back to the same question that I asked my dad, what are some things that you learned in season one with us that you would advise our audience to carry with them as words of wisdom or just what you learned, period?
I guess to like resonate with me, because this is Let's Be Real, Not Right. And it's been times where I might have like lied or, you know, wasn't real to somebody because of the fact of like hurting somebody's feelings or just trying to guard them the best way I know how. But as a Christian, like you learn to just tell the truth, be real, you know, no matter if it's gonna hurt somebody's feelings, you know, because what's that saying? What's done in the dark always comes to the light. For me, I've been trying to be more transparent. I'm usually quiet, but been trying to just you know, speak more about my feelings or how I'm feeling, or but just being real, you know, no matter what the situation is, just be real, because you never want to put somebody in a situation or anybody in a situation where, you know, something that it could have been prevented.
Yeah.
And as far as this podcast, I just think just with y'all reading the Eve book and the moments that she's been through, how you brought it back to you about the prison, about your son in college, and how you want him to be, like your husband and Jen, I'm trying to figure out one thing that you said. Yeah, she's a lot of stories.
Which story? My favorite was the guy. What was it? A white guy?
When his mama took you out of class.
Yeah, she called me out of class.
But just being real, and I like the fact how they was able to tie the book. Because I was like, when I first got to the podcast, I'm like, oh, they doing a podcast on a book, you know?
Everybody,
especially.
My dad.
Always my question.
So y'all a book club?
Yeah, no, for real. I thought it was like going to be like, I don't know. I was like, oh, they doing a podcast on a book, but like I said earlier,
what people were thinking.
That's what a lot of people was thinking. Like, they don't know about this. But it's good though, because like you said, like I said earlier, whatever Eve was going through in her book and what she wrote, you guys were able to take pieces of it individually and relate it back to your own life. So I thought that was pretty dope. And I learned more about Eve in this podcast.
Me too.
So
all I knew was Shaky Tambourine.
Yeah, all I know is like Rough Riders and, you know, Love Is Blind and sure. That's really it. I know she was So, but no, that was dope how y'all was able to take pieces from her book and tie it to real life scenarios and y'all own personal situations and stuff like that. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Okay. Aww. Well, you have been amazing.
Yes.
We look forward to many more seasons with you behind the camera. We actually dragged him in front of the camera.
In front of the camera.
We
and drug him in front of the camera.
Do a lot around here.
We were trying to save him in the background.
But we definitely, again, want to thank you and give you your flowers.
Thank you.
Yes, now, because we don't, your work does not go unnoticed.
At all.
And so, yeah, we just want to thank you. And we also want to thank our viewers for hanging in there with us while we learned each other. We learned, this is all of our first podcast. So we were all learning and y'all hung in there. Y'all supported us. For those of you that just started, y'all have a big road, a nice road, a fun road ahead of you for season two. And just some things that we want to leave with you that we learned behind the scenes during season one was that the long road and the hard road is always worth traveling.
That's good.
We had a long road and sometimes it was hard, but what I will be very transparent about is that before every recording, at least one of us was going through it. Even sitting here today, some of us are going through it today. But the long road and the hard road, we all know, is worth traveling. So I thank all of y'all for being my sounding board, being my ears, being my prayer partners, hearing me out, just helping me along into something that I had in my head and I put it out on paper. And all of y'all were on board, from Sino to everybody sitting on this couch. And y'all sacrifice y'all Saturdays. Most of the time it's a long Saturday for us, because y'all know women got to go through hair, makeup, clothes. We do that. And y'all stick it out. So I just want to encourage the world, because I know we live in a microwave, fast, gimme, gimme, now society. And I just want to encourage you that the long road, the hard road, is always worth traveling. And just because there is not joy now, that does not mean you sacrifice the long road and the hard road. So keep showing up. And we appreciate y'all. We love y'all. Season 2, we already packing it up, packaging it up.
Tell them about season 2.
Let me tell y'all about season 2. The book is gone. There will be no more book.
Me and Kyla will be reading on the sidelines. So if y'all want to DM us about what we're reading, just let us know.
But we are going to talk about us, who we are. You guys are going to find out more insight to what we do, our lives, our journey, where we come from, where we are going, and just sisterhood, love, community. Just support is really what you're going to get from season 2. So y'all hang out, y'all come back, check us out, rock and roll with us.
Yeah. So we're all about joy. And so the last thing that I'll leave y'all with is the foundation of Let's Be Real, Not Right was to put joy back into our lives. We can turn on the TV, turn on the radio, turn on our phones. We can get trauma, negativity, death, all types of bad things is right at your fingertips. So we are here to put joy back into the world, to bring you community, like Kyla said, sisterhood, encouragement, and just to let y'all know that it doesn't always have to be bad. And not that we're wearing rose-colored glasses, but it's enough of the negativity out there. Y'all don't need that from us. And we want to give you something different. So that's what we're here for. Yeah. So any other last words, ladies, for season 1?
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
That's a wrap, guys. So our last words, let's be real.
Not right.
Woo. All right now. That's it, and we hope you enjoyed this episode giving you the male perspective from our very first guest. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed us, don't be stingy, share. And if you're new here, tap that subscribe button, follow us, and I promise you, you don't want to miss the season 1 finale. We weren't even ready for this one. Most of all, keep it real, and don't forget who you are.